But I am not a pastor, okay? I'm a lay preacher. I was licensed by my church, and that's all I am. So please, don't call me pastor, okay? When I think of pastor, I think my pastor, and he's not here. But anyway, that's what we have here. I guess I'm scheduled to be here again 2 weeks from now, I believe. Next week, I think, is Pastor's father that's going to be bringing the message, I believe he told me. Did he go to the beach again?
Yeah.
Is that where he went, down there below Myrtle Beach? I think that's where he...
His brother-in-law.
Yeah, I think I was talking to him down there last year about that. But anyway, it was interesting that I got a text from my pastor this week. I think Thursday, he sends me this text, and he says, "Can you fill a pulpit for me Sunday morning?" You know, and I hated to turn him down, but I said, "I already have an obligation." You know, so I have no clue who's speaking in my church this morning. My church is Marsh Creek Fellowship Baptist Church. I have no clue who is there. Because I know the other speaker would be his son-in-law, but his son-in-law is probably going with him because they're going to a memorial service for his father who passed away a few months ago. They're down south somewhere. So I don't know. So I know it's not me. Okay, but it is good to be with you folks. I'm happy to do this, to fill in for Pastor. I told him he's lucky he got me in June. Because if he were to get me in July, I would not be around. And then I have surgery coming up in July. So I'm happy that the Lord worked us out here this morning. What I'd like you to do this morning, if you could open your scriptures to the book of Jeremiah. That's in the Old Testament. Okay. Jeremiah. When you get to the book of Jeremiah, I see some Bible pages still turning there. Okay. Then turn to chapter 18 once you get to the book of Jeremiah. And we're generally going to be spending our whole morning just in this particular chapter. I have some other scriptures, but I will read them for you as we get along here. And what I'd like to look at this morning is Jeremiah and what he had learned and some aspects of when he went down to the potter's house. So let's read just the first six verses here of Jeremiah 18, where it reads this way under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." Now that last verse, that sixth verse, we understand that Jeremiah and God is speaking of a nation, okay, not necessarily an individual. But it also can be applied to you and I, so that in that sixth verse, instead of reading it, "O house of Israel," you might want to put in your own name. I mean, Jeremiah could very legitimately have said here, after verse 6, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, cannot I do with you as this potter? Not only nationally is God working, but also individually. So let's have a word of prayer before we enter into researching and looking at some of this particular portion of Scripture. Father, I'm thankful unto you that you have allowed us to have this Scripture. You have inspired it. You have preserved it so that we here today can look into it and see what you have for us. Lord, I pray that our hearts can be open, that our hearts can be tender, our hearts can be receptive unto your word, that we would be able to see here. And then, Father, when we walk away from here today, that we could be a little bit more changed, a little bit more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Father, we worship you now. In looking into your word, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, when we look at this particular portion, basically what we're going to be looking at it is two parts of it. The potter, and we're going to be looking at the clay. But also we're going to be looking at the process of making a pottery. Because what happens here is, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying. Now, I don't know where Jeremiah was prior to this point. He might have been in his house. He might have been in his study. He might have been somewhere. I don't know where he was. But wherever it was, God spoke to him and said, Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. And then I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to tell you something. Now, Jeremiah then did what? He went, didn't he? He didn't have to be convinced. He didn't sit there and say, God, why do you want me to go down to the potter's house? I don't know if you've ever been to a, have any of you ever been to a pottery workshop? Have you ever been to one? They're nice and clean, aren't they? Huh? There's no mud around. There's no dust around. There's nothing like that. The potter is as cleanly dressed in his finest apparel as he's... Isn't that the way it is? I mean, no, it's a workshop. It's a dirty place, not because it's unclean. It's because he's working with dirt. That's what clay is, you know? So it's a dirty place. He gets dirty. He gets muddy. You know, he has an apron on, but when he's spinning that wheel, making them pots, that mud is flinging everywhere. Okay, so Jeremiah, he says, Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. Okay, and then I'm going to tell you something, is what he says. Because that's what I get here out of this first verse. He says, arise, and I'm going to cause you to hear my words. Now, Jeremiah does. He listened. And what I want us to understand here is sometimes, a little point here is, sometimes we don't have to be in a formal place to get something from the Lord. We don't have to be. He was in a potter's house. I can probably talk to many of you men here who might have been hunters or fishermen. And a lot of times, at least I know when I go hunting, there is a lot of downtime, you know. I'm sort of sitting there, you know, with my little rifle and, you know, my little thermos, and I'm sitting there freezing, and of course, deer after deer after deer after deer after deer is running by me, right? So I can pick out the one I want, you know. You know, sometimes I'm lucky if I see one in a day at that particular point for some reason. But I have a lot of time. So what do I do with my time? See? Huh? You guys have been there. So maybe some of you women. You think about it. You can still, you can see them little crazy squirrels that are driving you nuts or the chipmunks or whatever. Then you start looking at them. You see how industrious they are and how working they are and how that they're gathering for themselves. And you begin to get these lessons from the Lord. But it wasn't in a formal setting. It wasn't in Sunday school. It wasn't in church. It wasn't a theology class. It wasn't any of that. It was in a place other than that. So this is where Jeremiah goes. He's going down to this particular potter's house. And he's looking at things here. And he's going to be talking. We're going to be talking about these particular vessels. Okay. Now, what was it that Jeremiah saw at this house? He saw that the potter, he says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Now, how does a potter make a pot? Anybody know? Huh? There's basically three ways that a potter will make a pot. He'll either do what's called slab work, he'll do coil work, or he'll do what's called throwing it on a wheel. Okay? Those are the three ways that pottery is made. Which way did this potter make his pot? Can you tell me? Was it slab? Was it coil? Or was it on a wheel? Wheel. How do you know that? It says it, doesn't it? Very clear, right? So we know what this kind of potter is. He's making a wheel. How does he do it? Where does he get the clay? What kind of clay is it? Does he just go out and grab a bunch of clay and bring it back to his shop and then make a pot? Is that all there is to it? No, that's not all there is to it. You see, what the potter has to do is he has to go get the clay. One of the most commonest elements on earth. The dirty, filthy clay. And he digs the clay up, okay, is what he does with it. And then he takes it back to his shop. Now, sometimes the clay he digs up might be in a dry form. Sometimes it might be a little damp. But what he has to do is he has to put enough water into it to make it malleable. And then what he does with this clay is a process where he wedges it. It's sort of like, I'm not a baker, but ladies, sometimes when you have dough or something, do you sometimes try to knead it? Like you sort of push it around, right? Why do you do that? Huh?
Incorporate it together
and to get all the what? Air bubbles and everything out of it and all that. That's the same thing you do with clay. You want to wedge it. You want to get every impurity out of it. I mean, when he gets that clay, it's going to come with stones in it. It's going to come with little sticks in it. It's going to come with pieces of a leaf in it. It's going to come with debris in it. And when he puts it together, there's going to be air bubbles trapped in it. All of which, if we were to go to fire that pot, that clay, it would blow the pot up. It would be no good. It would be worthless. So what he first has to do is wedge that clay and work it and move it and pick pieces out and get it together so it's a more uniform, more stuck together entity. Then what he does with it is he puts it and wraps it in something. Today we would wrap it in a plastic bag. Back then, I don't know what they wrapped in it, but he wrapped it in something, and when he kept it moist and he kept it damp, and then he put it on a shelf, and he let it age. Because the longer it sat there, the more malleable it became. Sometimes 3, 4 weeks, a month, 2 months, whatever, until that clay was ready to be used. That would be called aging. And then once he was ready for that particular clay to be used, he would bring it out again, and he would work it again and wedge it again to make sure there are no more impurities in it. This is what he would do. All the time he's doing this, I want you to bear in mind that this potter knew what kind of a pot he was going to make with that clay. He already knew it. He knew that with this clay, I'm going to make bowls. Or he knew that with this clay, I'm going to make plates. Or he knew with this clay, I'm going to make goblets. Or he knew with this clay, I'm going to make a pouring pitcher. I mean, he knew what he was doing this whole time, what this clay is going to be. And so once he gets it ready, once he gets it done, okay, it's now time to go to the wheel. And you know what? It doesn't matter how big the wheel is. The only thing that you want in a wheel is that it's to be balanced and you put the clay on center. He takes this lump of clay. He takes it. He puts a nice ball like this in his flat wheel. And in the center, he goes, boom, smashes that clay right down. And then he starts spinning. He starts kicking that wheel, and it goes. And he takes his hand, and he gently, at first, starts squeezing that clay, and then pushing down and out, and squeezing it in, pushing it down and out, squeezing it in, down and out, until it gets all pushed together. Then he starts making a bowl on it, and then he begins to make his vessel. He'll put a thumb indentation in the center of that thing, and then he'll start pulling on that clay. And he'll pull it up, or he'll pull it out, and he'll pull it till it gets the consistency that he wants, the thinness that he wants. And you know what that potter will feel with that clay? It says he's pulling that clay. He will feel if there is any inconsistency left in that clay. He can feel an air bubble. He'll do that. That's how you would make a pot. Eventually, then, once he gets the pot where he had want, he sets it aside, cuts it off the wheel, puts it on a shelf. It's called greenware. I have no clue why it's called greenware, because I have never seen any green clay. You know, so I don't know why it's not called brownware or something like that. But then he sets it there for a while so it completely dries, puts it to the fire, you know, bakes it, thousands of degrees. It comes out again. It's called bisqueware. If there were any impurities at that point, it would have shattered, crashed, everything else, and then it comes out. Then he will, at that particular point, once it's bisqueware, he will then decorate it, put glaze on it, whatever you want to do to it, refire it, and then it comes out. A vessel fit for the master's use. But this is what Jeremiah sees. When he goes down to the potter's house, he's looking at this particular potter, and he's on the wheel, and he's looking at it. Because he says, "And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." He's looking at it. He's looking. I don't think he just stood there for like 5 seconds. And says, "Oh yeah, the guy's making a pot, big deal." Okay, knowing Jeremiah, he probably was very inquisitive, looking at everything, looking around, looking at what he's doing, noticing the hands of the potter as he was molding and shaping and making that particular pot. He observed all these things as he was looking. This is what he had done. And then what he saw there, he says, "I saw. I went down, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels," verse 4 says, "and the vessel that he made," I don't know what he was making, it could have been whatever. Whatever he was making, it was marred in the hand of the potter. He found an impurity in it. He found something that would cause it to not make it through a fiery test. He saw something that was there. It could have been an air bubble. It could have been something. So, like, if you find an air bubble If you find an air bubble in a pot as you're pouring up and making it, what you do is you take a knife and you cut out that air bubble in the side and you pull that out. And you know what you do with the rest of the clay that was there? You squish it all back down again and you make another ball. And you push it, you squeeze it, you push it, you squeeze it, you push it, you squeeze it. And you know what you do? You make it again. You make it until you get it right. Now, Jeremiah says in verse 6, he says, O house of Israel, or he says, Glenn, can I not do with you as this potter? So can you see who God is comparing himself to? He's comparing himself to the potter. In this particular example that we have here, the potter in this instance is God. He has the power over the clay. Romans chapter 9, verse 21 tells us this. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. But the key I want us to notice at this particular point is the fact that the potter has the power over the clay. Do you think when a potter is making a piece of pottery that the pot can say, I don't want to be this? Do you think the pot's going to say, oh, I want to resist your hands? No. Who has the power over the clay? The potter. The potter has the power to make of that clay whatever he wants to make of it. That tells you the sovereignty of that potter over that piece of clay. Now, connect some dots here. Connect some dots. Are we not a piece of clay? What were we formed from? The dust of the earth, right? Okay, who has sovereignty over us to make what he wants of us? Huh? God. God has, it's all in his sovereignty, and he can form that lump of clay unto a vessel of honor or unto a vessel of dishonor. Now, is a vessel of dishonor not good? How many of you would like to be a vessel of dishonor? How many of you would like to be a vessel of honor? Well, let me tell you this. In my dining area, we have a china closet. Okay, you know, it has the glass things there. And in that china closet are these wonderful dishes that my wife has. Okay? And she has these little goblets, you know, where you, in glasses where you bing them and you get this nice little ting to them, so they're kind of expensive, is what she told me. But they're sitting in there. They are our vessels unto honor. They're the best. You know how many times a year we use them? Huh? I can't remember the last time we used them. I'll tell you this. The last time they came out of the china closet when she got tired of all the dust and dirt on them and she had me clean them all. Okay? And then I put them right, and I took pictures of my phone right exactly where she wanted them so I knew that they would go right to the same place. But they're vessels. But you know what else I have? I have up in the cupboard these plates, Corel. You know, guess how many times a day I use them, huh? Or in the bottom shelf, underneath there, I have this stack of paper plates. How many times do you think I use them? Yeah, especially when we don't want to do the dishes, right? Now, paper plates, Corel, china dish. Which ones are the ones of the honor? Huh? The ones in the China closet, right? You know what the ones with dishonor were? The Corral, the paper plates. Dishonor means nothing more than a common thing. Okay? So I don't mind if I'm a vessel of dishonor being used in the potter's hand on a daily basis. So be it. I don't have to be some old fogey sitting up in some china closet somewhere that's never pulled down off the shelf and not used for nothing. Okay? I want to be used from God every day of my life. As long as I can walk, as long as I can breathe, as long as I can do whatever, God, use me wherever you want. I'll be a vessel unto dishonor if that's what you want. Okay? But you see, God has a place for those vessels of honor, right? Because he chooses to make some. But on the other hand, he has those unto dishonor. But that's the potter. That is the potter. Okay? And I want you to know something else about the potter. The potter went to the clay. Okay? Did God come to you? My Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, the potter came to earth to get us the clay so that we can be molded and we can be fashioned into a vessel that he wants us to be. Okay, we are the clay. Jeremiah 18:6 again reads, it says, he says, O Glen, or O House of Israel, or O United States of America, can I do with you as this potter? Huh? Can I do with you? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. You see, we're the clay. We are the clay. We are called out of a world of sin, but you know what? Sometimes we still have some of the impurities of that world within us when we're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what he has to do with us? He has to work us. He has to wedge us. He has to let us sometimes just sit for a while to be aged, to be used by him. Okay, I remember when I was going into college and when I was in grad school, sometimes I told my wife, I said, I am tired of just learning and learning. I says, I want to do something. I want to get out and work. Okay. I want to get into ministry. But you know what God kept saying? You wait. You sit there. You age a little bit longer, okay? And then I'm going to make a vessel out of you that I want you to be. Okay? Sometimes that happens with us. Okay? We still have some of the impurities in it. And to be honest with you, as a piece of clay, I am worthless except in the hands of the potter. Through his hands, I can be made into a beautiful vessel. Remember verse 4 in this chapter? As seemed good to the potter to make it. It's not for me to question the potter. Hey, I don't want to be a Christian school administrator. I want to be a preacher. You know what God says to me? He says, tough. That's not what I want you to be. I don't want to be a Christian school administrator. I want to be a financial planner where I can make thousands of dollars. You know what God says to me? What are you going to do with the thousands of dollars? He says, oh, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to provide this, that, and everything else. And you know what God says? I don't want you to do that. I want you to be a Christian school administrator. Okay? I had to listen. Who decides what I'm going to be? Huh? It's going to be God who wants me to be something. I shouldn't strive with him. I should not quench the Spirit of God as he works on me. Isaiah, that great prophet, wrote this in one of his book of Isaiah, 45th chapter, 9th verse. He said, "Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the pots strive with the potters of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands." Isaiah knew not to question God. You do what God tells you. "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto honor?" The potter. You know, God might be working in you right now in a wedging process. He might be working in you right now to try to get some impurities in your life cleansed out of you. Allow him to work. Okay? Allow him, if he has you just set aside for a while, to think on things. He might have you set aside as a result of an operation. You know, I'm a very active person. I like to do things. I like to hunt. I like to fish. I like to, this time of year, I love being on a trout stream floating a dry fly down there waiting for some nice trout to take it. But you know what I have to face come July 12th? I have to get new knees. Okay? Right now, it's killing me just to be standing here, but that's neither here nor there. But you know what's going to happen when I get new knees? I won't be doing any more fishing for a little while in the trout streams. Okay? My goal is that my knees are better and well enough so that I can be out there the first day of archery season. Okay? But I'm going to be inactive for a while. And I don't know why at this time, but I do know this is God's plan, so my deal is going to be, okay, God, what do you want me to do while I'm sitting there here aging? Okay, driving my wife nuts. Okay? All right, what do you want me to do? It could be happening. Okay? Some of you might be being put to a test of the fire right now. Some of you might be put through that test of the fire. Others, hey, you might be a finished vessel right now. A vessel either to honor or to dishonor, but one that is fit for God's work. Will you allow him to be used? The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Get up. Get down to the potter's house. I'm going to cause you to hear my words. And I went down, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine, O house of Israel." Father in heaven, we thank you for your working with us. Father, I thank you that as a worthless piece of clay that you saw fit to send our Savior and our Lord to shed his blood, to die on that cross, for me,
for others, for the world. And Father, that through your tender, loving hands, you're going to form, you're going to fashion, you're going to make me, make us into the vessels that you want us to be. Father, help us not to strive, help us not to gripe, nor to complain, but to allow you to work in us for your glory, for your honor. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.